Okay.
So we are, so who's the artist we've got? It's Hukat Balak. You, I think you're just doing Balak this week. And then we'll be caught up.
Oh, that's so. Okay.
We're going to talk about, so I'm going to talk about Balak. That way it works for both of us. And talk about Bilam and all the prophecies. They're very poetic. And that means metaphors and similes. So we're going to talk about metaphors.
Metaphors.
Metaphors. Right, you're an English professor. You know your English, right? So talk about the problem of figuring out what the metaphor is a metaphor for. And it's too hard to say that. So we need to get a word for a we need a word for what a metaphor is a metaphor for.
In Hebrew, you have Mashal and Nimshal.
Nimshal, right. So how do you translate Nimshal into English? That's the question.
Nymphor.
Okay, so Wikipedia offers a couple options. Tenor, the ground, the target, the metaphrand. Okay, so I push for the word metaphee.
Okay.
Right, like metaphor and the metaphee, like payer and payee. It's not as
Yeah.
metabolically justified. Of course, the or is not part of the root word. It's not an indicator like an actor or anything like that, but it sounds good. But I thought I actually coined the term metaphi, but brachshekevanti, you've heard that expression.
When do you use that?
You when you have a good idea that someone smarter than you had before you. Like,
Oh.
oh, okay. Brilliant minds think alike.
Oh.
And I'm glad that I can. So I had an illustrious predecessor, and this is from William Sapphire. Remember William Sapphire, New York
Yeah,
Times?
he wrote for the Times, right.
Yes, the On Language column. So in
Oh, yeah,
1991,
right, on
20,
language.
so
Hold
this
on, I'm
is
going to put on
38.
the, one sec, I have to put on the air conditioning. Even this early, it's hot. Okay.
So this I tracked down. This was New York Times in 91. In On Language, he is arguing about the word mentee, like the target of a mentor,
Yes.
which is not etymologically valid. Mentor is just a name from the Odyssey for Odysseus's advisor, but people like using the word and mentee,
Yes.
and he points out, and he said in 1986, he argued against it, that use of E as the automatic complement to or should be resisted, but he decided in 91 just to give up, and it was okay because there's no better word. Protege doesn't work, fellow doesn't work. So this does not, so he's going to go for mentee. This does not mean I'll run it and buy sponsor, sponsee, or metaphor, metaphee.
Oh.
But let's suspend that abominating of mentee. Give it a break. Help it along. So, listen, William Sapphire thought it was worth mentioning but rejecting. So, I'm going to say it's 2026. Let's suspend the abominating of metaphee. I'm going to start using
Yes.
metaphee. Okay.
Metaphor.
So, I want this in some standard dictionary by this time next year. We're going to use metaphee. So, we're going to talk about it. So, the most well-known metaphor, let me add this in. Okay. So we'll talk about the metaphors and the metaphys in Bilaam's prophecy. Okay, the most well known right now, this year, is Hen'am klavi yakum v'kari yitnasa.
Wait, where is it? Where are you?
Hen'am klavi
Oh,
yakum,
Hen
right, as a simile. Klavi yakum.
Klavi. Oh, yeah.
Right, that was the name of the operation that wiped out
Yeah.
Iranian leadership. Obviously, it's hard to predict the future. Who knows where it's going to end up? But we know the metaphor, right? Lo yishkav yachateref v'dam chalom. Okay, the metaphor is kind of obvious. It's called by Israel's military might. That's what meant then. That's obviously what Israelis meant by it now.
Isn't it a simile is when it actually says as?
Right, when it makes the comparison explicit. So kilavi is a simile. Ukari is a simile. Lo yishkab ad yochal teref is a metaphor, right? Bnei Israel are not actually eating. Okay, and I'm going to use the simile metaphor interchangeably, both real, but we're talking about, what's the symbol as a key is what is the metaphor there. But there's another pasuk we're even more familiar with, which is Ma tovu oalech Yaakov u'mishkanotech Yisrael. How goodly are thy tents, O Yaakov, your dwelling place, Israel. And it continues, Kinechalim natayu, they spread like rivers, ganot alay nahar, like gardens on the river, those planted by God, karazim alemayim, like cedars on the water. Okay, and those are all similes, but for what? So what's the metaphor there? What is he referring to? What are the messages supposed to get out of
But
it?
Ohalecha is, that's not literal.
Well, that's quite it. So Rashi takes Ohalecha literally, right? You're literally your tents, and Rashi says it's about the tsniut. Matu Ohalecha al shabra pitcheihem she'enem ze mul ze. I know we could look into their neighbor's tent. They're all aimed away from each other. Your tents, your literal tents are good. And these are similes that refer to the fruitfulness of Eretz Israel. Right there. They're like gar literally like gardens on the river. Rashi doesn't take this symbolically, metaphorically. So I'm going to read it metaphorically, okay? We're going to read it with Sforno. So Sforno reads the as a metaphor. The metaphor being Matovo Olachov or Batei Midrashot.
Oi.
Oi.
Yeah, because it's anachronistic.
Anachronistic in the sense of they're not literally like big buildings full of books, but the idea that they were learning at that time certainly is not anachronistic.
What were
They
they
were.
like Yaakov went to Beit Midrash Shel.
Yeah, we've talked about what that meant, shame behavior and all that. We've talked about how what that means. Obviously, it doesn't mean a yeshiva like a building with courses and all that. I mean, the concept of learning was certainly at this point they had Torah there, and he says exactly that. And he quotes the Yaakov, Yoshev Ohalim. Okay, and is exactly taking that as the metaphor, or by Yeshkon Bo'el Hashem. Right, by Yafet. And similarly, when Moshe, after Chere Egel, moves the tent of meeting outside the camp, Yaakov, it says that's just where I want to read this. This is about they would learn, and Mishkanotecha is Bnei Knesiot, where you serve Hashem. That's the Mishkan. How goodly is your Mishkan? The Baal Tzibat Mishpalim. Matobu, it says, how goodly they are. Ki lo buvad bam. That's not just good for those who are there, learning there. Aval metivim achol huma, but it is good for the entire nation. There
Oh,
you
that's what the Haredim say.
go.
We're not just learn, we're saving the nation. We can't be in the army.
I'm not going to say you couldn't be in the army. Obviously, everyone is in Israel at this point was in the army as well.
Well, yeah, but that's
Okay.
their thing.
I am aware of that.
I
But we're
mean,
not
we're
going to touch
not,
contemporary
yeah,
politics.
we're not, but
Right?
it's
I
not
mean,
their only thing. It's one of their things, not
is
their
a
own.
thing there, but learning is good for everyone. But what I'm going to look at is textually these the metaphors here of Kenachalim Natayu. Like Nahar, Karazim Mayim, they're all about water. And the metaphor is Torah,
Torah.
right? So that goes with the interpreting Ohalacha as a place where we're learning Torah. Right? Famous Gemara in Bava Kamma, Tanya, Vayalchu Shlosh Yamim Bamidbar v'lo Matzu Mayim, right? They went for 3 days after Yetziat Mitzrayim, they didn't have water. Darshei Rishumot Amru, those who make drashot, say Ein Mayim Ela Torah. That's what it's a metaphor for. Nemar, as Yeshaya says, if I called Mayim, and there clearly he's talking about the word of God, not talking about literal.
And that's why we lay in Tuesday and Thursday. Monday and
Monday,
Thursday.
Monday and Thursday. Right. So you shouldn't go 3 days without water, metaphorically.
Keep going.
Okay. So this is Bilam, and it's reading. Bilam is talking about how wonderful not only Bnei Israel's military might is, but how wonderful their learning Torah is. And Moshe says that later in Devarim, in source 7. You Bnei Israel should keep this Torah. It is your wisdom, it is your understanding in the eyes of the nations. That they'll hear these laws, and they'll say, Rak am chacham benavon. How wise and great is this brilliant nation, this great nation, for this Torah here. So we're not surprised, but Bilam would laud the Torah as one of the glories of Israel. That's what he sees in his nevuah, his bracha to Israel. How wonderful is your learning Torah? But why those particular similes? You know, what is that? What do those particular things mean? I don't have to look at metaphors. Okay? Because the metaphor, the text, not the metaphy, the metaphy is what you're trying to communicate. The metaphor is the tool you're using to communicate it, has to have meaning to its audience. Right, you have to understand what it means. It's got to have a reference to something, which means they're nearly impossible to translate. Because it's a culturally relevant thing, right? Here's my example, right? It's fourth and long with 10 seconds left. Translate that to Mexican, to Spanish.
What you're
Right?
saying, it's hard to translate like a fig tree on the shore, whatever it was. Water, like water
Like
flowing.
water, yeah. What does that all mean there? What I'm saying is that, yeah, it's hard because it's got to mean have some meaning, right? It has allusions to us. We know about, Shloshim Yamim Lo Matzu Mayim as a metaphor for not learning Torah. Why would Bilam say that? Okay, Bilam's gonna say, oh, they have great, what does it mean for an Arab, someone from Aram, or talking to a Moabite? What does that mean there? So I mean, that's always the problem. How do you translate a metaphor? Here we go. So, the fourth and long, the football image, Copa Minutos 90, milagro. Right? It's the 90th minute, using a soccer term rather than a football term. Not just translating the words, you got to translate the cultural meaning there. Or I love this quote. This is from Umberto Eco. Ever read Foucault's Pendulum?
No.
You know who Umberto Eco is? Italian author.
Yes, yeah. I know him.
Okay, so he talked about translating his work. He's got one line where the characters talk about, or they're all speaking literary quotations. And at one point, they go over the hills and they see it's Al Dia de Leta Siepe. Which evidently, I don't know what it means, but it's a reference to a poem by Giamatteo Leopardi, which every Italian reader knows by heart.
Oh.
Okay? And you can't translate that, right? If you translate it as beyond the hedge rather, which is literal,
Oh.
you in English would have no idea what it means. So the English translation was, we glimpsed endless vistas like Darien, De Olivetti remarked. Okay, does that mean anything to you?
No.
Now, hopefully, you remember this was the Keats sonnet. It was the Keats sonnet on experiencing Chapman's Homer for the first time.
No.
Well, no one's got an education anymore. So,
Wait,
if you're
Umberto
the kind of person,
Eco, he wrote,
he wrote
didn't
The
he
Name of
write
the
The Name of
Rose.
the Rose?
The
Yeah,
Name of the
The Name
Rose,
of the
yes.
Rose.
So, if you're the intellectual likes Umberto Eco, then you certainly know Keats and the poem and where he talks about. Stout Cortez finally looking at the Pacific. That vista opened up in front of him. We looked staring with wild surmise, silent upon a peak in Darien. So if you know that, you know what the reference is. So you got to translate that to a famous poem. in English instead of famous for in Italian. If you're doing it for a modern audience, you might say, we glimpsed endless vistas like Dorothy opening the door to the Technicolor Oz. You know
Okay.
that scene, right? It's very hard to translate a metaphor. You got to translate you got to keep the meaning of the metaphor and somehow culturally change that. So what does Bilaam say? Bilaam's Aramean. He's speaking to a Moabite king.
Wait, sorry, I'm always okay. Okay.
Why do you think we can understand his imagery? And I'm going to argue the reason is because we're not reading his words. We're not
We're
reading
seeing,
a
okay.
prophecy in Moabitish or Aramaic, right? Gemara says that Moshe katav sifro uparshat Bil'am v'Iyov. Moshe is the one who wrote this book. Specifically, right? He knows what Bilaam said through what Hashem tells him. Moshe is translating them into biblical Hebrew and presumably into biblical idiom as well. So I don't know what Bilaam's metaphor was. We know what Moshe's metaphor was. And that's why you can
Which
say they are
metaphor are we talking about? Which one?
the ones,
Just Ahalecha?
no, we're talking about Kinechalim Natayu Kaganot Alei Nahar Ka'alim Natayu,
Oh.
those, right? The image of plants by the water.
You think that's a specific cultural thing that anybody wouldn't understand it?
If we're understanding it as referring to Torah, yes. Right. You said, oh, of course, Ein Torah, Mayim Ela Torah, that's culturally specific.
Oh.
Assuming it's literal talking about fruitfulness, maybe probably not. We're not reading it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so whatever Bilaam said, thought about how wonderful the laws, I don't know what he said, but Moshe is translating
Oh.
them to images that the
Oh.
Torah uses. And so I'm going to understand them. What was that?
Also, it's in Hebrew.
Right, so clearly it's translated into biblical Hebrew. I'm saying that it's going to be translated into biblical idiom as well.
But he's talking to Israel.
Who's talking to Israel?
Bill, he's not saying to
No,
Moab,
Bilaam is talking to Balak, the king of Moab.
but it's saying it's directed to you. How nice are your tents?
Yes, but there's no one from Israel who's listening to him. So like I'm saying his words clearly are not like meant for Israel to hear. I mean, he's talking into space in that general direction.
They weren't meant for Israel to hear.
Oh, there's nothing in there that says it was meant for Israel. Here it's talking, he's talking to
But
Balak.
it's second per whatever, second person. How beautiful are your tents? He wouldn't say that to the king of Moab.
No, he's talking, I mean, he's talking at him, maybe he's on top of a mountain looking at the camp of Israel, right? No one's hearing him, right? I mean, I think just visualize that. He's talking, he's talking at Israel with that comment. But the only one hearing him is Balak and his people. They're miles away.
So was Bullock. No?
Balak was right there. Right? He's he
Oh,
goes
Bullock is right there.
right. Right. It says that.
Okay.
He goes in front of
Well,
Balak. Balak says
it's a problem. Like he's
problem.
standing there talking to Bullock and he's saying, "How beautiful are your tents, Israel?"
I mean, it was just visualize, right? He is standing there staring at Israel with all the Moabim listening to him.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
I mean,
I could get
you can
it.
see what's going on over there. And he's looking at them
Okay.
and saying, This you people are so wonderful. But what
And
is your
he
point?
didn't say tense. We don't know what he
I
said.
don't know what word he used there.
He might have said tense. I
He might
mean
have
in
said
Dutch,
tense, but you might be
not
no,
the
but
rest of it, not
right,
the
so the
water
images
stuff.
that I don't know, but I feel I had to put this in there to give myself permission to interpret these as biblical idioms and allusions, even though it's Bilam saying it. That's why I had to
Right.
get that introduction there.
So now we're learning that it's Moshe. Moshe did what you, right. We're reading Moshe's interpretation.
Translation of it, but realizing that anytime you're translating a poem, translating metaphoric imagery, it's going to be more than, it's not going to be a literal translation because that misses the point. When we look at these four similes here, first is k'nachalim natayu, right? Torah is compared to water, but here it's a river. Natayu, they spread out like a river. And so I know about rivers from the famous Native American philosopher and poet Pocahontas. Remember the movie? Right? What I love most about rivers is you can't step into the same river twice. Waters are always changing, always flowing, right? That's what a river. So this is the way Asher Yuval, who writes a site called Machal Hamayim, says that, about that idea that Torah is like a nachal. Hamshalat Torah zerima ha-mitmamedet shel mayim. This metaphor of Torah as a flowing water, specifically. Mazkirat ha-mashal shel Heraclitus. It reminds us of the metaphor of Heraclitus, the Greek philosopher.
So the Moabites, well, I don't know if your basic thing about when you're translating a piece of literature and they're using a metaphor, you switch it to something that your language, I
Well,
don't
it's a
know if they
problem. You
switch it.
can sometimes, you're right, you have to decide which way to do it. You can translate the words literally,
You
but then you
could,
may
and
miss the
then
meaning.
you could. I bet they do. I
They
mean,
do, right. I'm saying it's not a, you can, I'd say, read, Eco had an entire book on
wait, I lost you.
Umberto Eco has an entire book on translation where he talks about just making those kind of decisions.
So the
You
name of
can.
the rose that we read is a translation. He wrote it in Italian.
You wrote in Italian, that's correct.
Oh, what do you know?
Now he knows English, so he was definitely involved with his translator
Right.
and worked with a translator, but it's not his
Right.
native language.
That has to be right.
Which obviously helps.
I don't know, even in poetry, I don't think they change. Like if some great poet is writing about, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Okay, then Shakespeare said a rose. Well, wait, that's
Yeah.
English to English,
Yeah.
sorry.
Right.
But
So I mean, that's
you
the
know what I
example that Echo
mean?
gave right over there. That, if in his original he's quoting some famous Italian poem or alluding to some famous Italian poem, we saw the vistas like as though behind a hedge, which to you would need a footnote to say what that's referring to because you have no idea. And
Right.
if the translator could either leave a footnote, leave it meaningless. Like we saw the
Okay.
vista in front of
Okay.
us
It
like a
is. It's
hedge.
very interesting about trans. This is about translating,
Yes.
especially metaphors. Right.
Right. That's my point. We have to,
Right.
it's not an easy thing.
Right.
It would be better if we saw the grand vistas like Dorothy opening the door into Oz. That's the same image as the through the hedge, but that means something to you.
Yeah, but no translator would. Well,
Well, they clearly did because we had the example that Eco did of exactly doing that,
right, we
telling it,
did.
he told his
Right,
translator, you got to do
we
this.
did. Yes. Okay, so
Okay,
Moshe and Israel, they're familiar with the water thing.
with the water thing, right? With the water thing, okay? And so, but we're looking at the, you can't step into the same river twice idea. That this is that's actually from the Greek philosopher.
Okay.
Heraclitus, e efshar l'tvol b'oto nahar pa'mayim, which
Oh.
obviously is not ancient Greek, okay? That's Yuval translating Heraclitus' words, you can't step in the same river twice. And he says, hakol zorem, right? Pantarei is also not his words. That was Plato's words describing it. Everything flows, everything's moving, everything's changing. Because the water and river is always flowing. That clearly this is not the same water that you drew from yesterday. Chazal. So this connects to the saying of Chazal that says, "B'chol yom yu b'necha chadashot Hashem." Now, every day the Torah should be new, right? Asher nim is nabechem hayom. In the Torah, achad domela mishneim. Learning Torah is never the same. Whenever you think you're learning something new. Okay, that's the kenachalim. It's not just mayim as Torah, but it's flowing. You're always getting something new out of it. Mamre Rebbe Shua b'Tami Dav, as Gemara Chagiga says, Eiv shel Midrash below chidush.
Okay.
Right? You cannot, you're never going to learn something without somebody thinking new about it. So pay attention to other people, right? One aspect of the Torah that we're reading Bilam here as appreciating is that there's this chiddush, innovation. Talmud Torah is not static. You have something to add. Or it's based. There's a start from it. Plus, the next line is, keep going. Here is Kganot Alei Nahar. And for you who knows, who's already read the Torah, what is that talking about? What's that alluding to? Such the garden on the water.
Ganaden, I don't
It's
know.
the garden, right? It's the garden that's on the
Oh,
river. Okay, that's
okay.
clear. But I
Oh.
mean, you can't not think of that. Again, that's if you're B'nai Israel reading this, you're most telling this, right? That's
Huh.
right. That's the garden, right? Vayitashem gan be'edim kedem yisam moshamet adam etzayit. Sorry, right? Plants a garden. It's macha. It's a chayim b'toch hagan, right? There's a deep tree of life in the middle of the garden. The datavra, when the nahar yotzei me'eden
Ah,
and
here it
river comes out of
is.
Eden, lashkot it gan to water of the garden. Shem of red v'yalav ha'rashim, right? There's the river, the garden, the river. We know that, and that's and in the center of that same image of the Eitz HaChayim, which of course, in our mind, immediately reminds us of Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba, right? That's Torah there, in the middle of that gan. So that this learning Torah is like harking back to Gan Eden and the original Eitz HaChayim. Not just innovated, but it's connected back to creation itself.
Okay.
Starts with the base. So that's the second aspect of Talmud Torah. The next line is Kahalim Natashem. Right, it's
Where is
planted by
it?
God. In
But
other words,
Elohim Nata.
it's
Okay, so.
Aholim.
Oh, ka.
Not, it's aholim are, it's translated as aloes. Generally, that's the English word aloe comes from.
Oh.
The flowering cactus with the ointment in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so first part, Nata Hashem, right? It's got to be planted by God, right? So
Oh, this is
religious.
not the tense. This is
No, this is
something
not the
else.
tense. It's
Yeah.
not
Okay.
oholim, it's aholim,
Aha.
right? And what the image of an ahalim, or the aloes, and to my ear, I assume to American ears, your ears as well, it's an emollient. It's the stuff they put into lotion,
Right.
aloe vera. That's not the way it's used in Tanakh. Again, the metaphor here is not, it's, Torah is moisturizing, but it's fragrant.
Oh.
Always uses as part as symbols of smell. Here is this Tilim Mem Hei. We're talking about the glories of the king. Right? Mar v'halot, yitzyot kol v'gadecha. All your clothes are scented with myrrh and aloe and cassia. Right? Instruments amuse you in your palaces of ivory. It's man marbahalot. Similarly, in Shir Hashirim, same image. Ner v'charkam, kanav kinman. That's spikenard, which is a kind of flower. Your cum is
Quercum.
orcum. It's another spice.
That's it's not saffron, it's
Let's see how we translate.
cardamom. No, it's not cardamom. Anyway, we use it, quercum. They call
Here,
it that.
calamus. I don't know. Does that mean anything to
No,
you?
there's another word for it. Quercum is the yellow thing, but looks like saffron, but it's poor man's saffron.
Tarragon?
Who?
Turmeric.
Yeah. No, that's not it. I think that's curcum, is
It could
turmeric.
be. Oh, now I'm curious, but we're not worried about curcumin. We were looking at all that, all looked.
Okay, yeah.
Let's see what he translates there. Here we go. Plants curcum. Give all the
Where is the
curcum,
English?
curcum. That's a good translation. Translate. What?
Curcum, turmeric, turmeric. Turmeric,
Rickets? What is
turmeric,
that?
turmeric. Do you know it, turmeric?
Yeah. Let's try the other one. Let's do. Here we go. Yeah. That's exactly
Yeah,
what translates to. Yeah,
turmeric.
crocro.
Yeah.
Because that's okay. Anyway, so there you go. So now you know the answer.
It's called
So,
poor man's saffron because it just gives
yes.
mostly color, not much flavor.
Yes, I use turmeric all the time. Okay, so anyway, so nard is spikenard in English. I know that. Crocum, turmeric, kana, fragrant reeds, cinnamon, acelga with frankincense, morva, alot, imkol roshei besamim. So alot is a kind of the roshei besamim, the finest spices. It's a metaphor of smell. That's the idea that something that spreads through space and affects others, not just mine. The Gemara describes Ma'antoras, filling the world with fragrance. That's what Ma'antara was all about. Reb Yehoshua ben Levi says, Gemara Shabbos, Ma'ani Tiv, when it says, L'chayav karugat habosem, right, is peaks or like beds of incense. Kol dibur v'dibur she'etzem p'kadosh baruch hu, hu nitmaleh kol olam kulo b'samim. With every dibur, the world was filled with fragrance. It was filled with the first dibur, so how do you get more in there? So then you have the fragrance, the smell of the dibur, and then the wind would blow it away, and then you would have the next dibur come in. Giving the Torah was like the scent. Right? It says, notfot mor over. The passing that way you would learn it.
I mean, talk about metaphor. Shira Shirim, they say, right? The whole
Right.
thing is a
Oh, it's a
metaphor.
metaphor. You gotta read it as metaphor.
No, you don't.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean,
No.
that's what he's saying here, that the note for Torah is a metaphor there. It's his lips are with changing with constantly changing the samim. That's what the original Torah was. And the way this MS reads that. Mela Hirgisho called Beruim Reach Torah. And clearly the entire all of creation experienced this smell, the fragrance of Torah. Itak, as it says, the world was full of the fragrance. Perush. I feel a mishaloha cholika Torah. Reach tov kala. Even those who didn't understand Torah really couldn't get it, still get the sense of, could get that sense of smell, the overall sense of it. As it says, the halacha is that hanichnas lachanatu you're just walking
Oh, yeah.
into a spice shop. You say the bracha. If you're getting benefit, even if you're not buying anything, you don't get any spice take home. Just the act of smelling, you're getting some hana, some benefit. The whole world that got at that moment got some of that fragrance of Torah.
But
The Maral says,
what's the okay, so the metaphor is a fragrant smell. What's the metaphy? The
that the
Torah,
Torah,
because
that
why?
the learning the Torah has to be like a fragrance. That's the Maral says that just like Hashem gave the Torah and spread it out, it's not something you can keep to yourself. You've got to spread it. You've got to let everyone else smell it as well. Right? That's the Mishnah says that. Torah Niknei L'Arba'a Shmonim Harim, my Pirkei Avot says that. You get Torah with 48 things, and one of them is Alomed almanat lamed. Typically, right? You have to, you in order to acquire Torah, you have to do it on the, with the intention of teaching others. Lamed lamed later. Okay, or similarly in Pirkei Avot, Bishmel Omer, Halomei Torah al manat lamed, a speaking biyado lamed. It's only if you learn with the intention of teaching others, then you'll be able to both learn and to teach. So this is the Maharal, Kibbutz Olam. So God's intellect spreads over everything. And therefore, it is obligatory. She had Torah Adam, she had Roy Ella Sechalion, that if you are trying, Torah, that personalized, if you're trying to emulate this Sechal of Hashem, Shu Mipashenokol, Kach Yet Torah To, Aminat Lala Medatakol. That's why you're just like God giving the Torah was like the fragrance filling the whole world. So to your Torah needs to be learned to fill the whole world. It's not for you.
And that's a halim.
Pollen, right? The fragrance, the fragrant plants that God planted. Okay, that's why I quoted, I love the quote. That's Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Lamadim Rabbatai. I learned much from my teachers, Rabbatai. I learned from my friends, my colleagues, more than I've learned from my teachers.
Oh, nice.
I learned from my students more than all of those. It's a little more almanat Torah needs to be taught and spread. It has to be exoteric.
Exoteric.
Exoteric. Which is interesting because esoteric is not esoteric. Exoteric is a more esoteric word. Right? Esoteric means for the elite few. Exoteric means for everyone. And that's what Torah has to be. And the last symbol, it's ka'arazim alei mayim,
Arazim
like the cedars on the
alei
water.
mayim.
Okay? And that image, we say that in Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, tzaddik ha'tamar yifrach, the tzaddik will blossom like a palm, ke'erez bal banon yishkeh, be fruitful like the cedars of Lebanon. It's a tzaddik. The metaphor of the tree is talking about not the chacham, but the tzaddik, being righteous, being good to others. First parak of Tehillim, that's that image, right? Ashrei ha'isha lo halach b'tzad rasha'im. Happy is the one who doesn't go with with the counsel of the wicked. Derech ha'teim lo ava amah, doesn't stand with the sinners. Moshav le'itzim lo yashav, doesn't sit with the cynics, the scoffers. He chepto, desires the Torah, Game learns day and night. Mayim,
There it
all
is.
victors. Like a tree planted on streams of water, Asher Priyo Yutain will be fruitful in the season, Aleo, and his leaves will never fall. Kol Asher Yaseh be successful in everything he does. That's the Erez Al Mayim.
Paul Gay Mayim.
Streams of water, but it's the idea that and it goes back to the Maasim, right? The same image of the tree, and this is famous metaphor in Pirkei Avot. Someone whose knowledge is greater than his actions, the Maadomeh, what's he like?
So it's not a good thing to have. You want your
Was
ma'asim to be,
greater, right? If chachmato is greater, then you're like having lots of leaves, but few, and not enough roots. A ruach ba ba'okra fall panav, right? Wind comes and it falls down. That's the image of Yirmiyahu. It's like a bush in the Arava, and it will not see good. And it dwells in the desolate places, but in the wilderness,
Wait, is
as
it the
the cut.
Shachan's Hare Rim? Hare Rim? Mazze. What is Harerim?
Let's see how we'd want to translate that. It's going to translate as the desolate place, but let's see. Here's.
Are
He's like a bush in the desert, just not sense.
loyal
He translates that as scorched
Mishkan
places of the wilderness.
Harerim. Okay. Harer, Harer.
Let's see how he wants to get rid of that. Here we go. We have the
Dry
dry regions, parched
regions.
places, parched place. We got an Arabic.
Okay. And
Okay.
Malecha is another odd word.
Yeah, like salt, right?
No, I don't know. He says barren.
It says barren, yeah, but I would translate it as salted. Saltiness. That kind of goes together with the barren, right? It's salt land, so. Jimmy. So that's the bad thing, right? That's the bad kind of tree. About
One more
Volchon.
word. Would you look up one more word for me? The
Yeah,
word
sure.
peleg,
Yeah, Pelagia
pelge.
streams. That's a pretty common word.
That's a common word. Pelge, peleg.
Pelagia Mayan.
Poleg.
Streams of water.
And the word alone, peleg, is a stream. Okay.
You want to take that? Oh, I don't want to do that. Let's go here.
Oh, that makes sense. There's a neighborhood in Netanya called Poleg.
Pelagic faction or no?
Poleg. Try Po with a Vav, Poleg. There
Cool.
you go.
Pole leg. That
Yeah.
doesn't help me translate pole leg.
Yeah.
Water drop.
Well.
I like Mayim. Stream of water.
But the root, well, yeah, okay. Anyway, poleg is a watery something.
Okay. That
Because
works.
there's a, yeah, it's a part of Netanya, it's called poleg. It's nice on the water, of
Oh,
course.
okay. That makes sense. Streams. Okay. So
Yes.
the Ma'aseh moving of Chachmato, right? If you have your Ma'aseh are greater than your Chachmah, Madomeh, we have more roots than leaves. All the winds in the world will come, and blow on it. Aim is a zinotum come up. It won't budge. And your meal continues. Shatul al Mayim, right? It's the Arezimalemayim image. And it will spread its roots on the verdant land, and it won't be afraid when the heat comes, and the leaves will be green and verdant, and it won't worry when we're on drought, and it will never stop freezing. That's the Masa. And that's what your Talmud Torah has to be as well. Aimed at, combined with Chesed Masim Tovim. Right? That's the Lomer Al Menat Lasot. And if you can do that, then Maspik can be a Do Lilmud Lamed Lishmor Lasot. And so that's what Torah is all about, even though this is Paul Johnson's famous quote that Judaism is an ancient, highly efficient social machine for production of intellectuals, but it's not about being intellectual. It's got to be aimed at chesed
Oh,
and love.
chesed, not just mitzvot?
Well, I'm
Word?
putting mas, you know, I would put that in the general
Oh,
sense,
masim
masim
tovim,
tovim,
yeah.
okay? Yeah, I mean, I think mitzvot includes that as well, but definitely masim tovim, right? And that's why it's connected with being the tzaddik.
I once designed a invitation for a block dinner, and I made a Torah, and there was like a banner coming out, and I wrote in it, Lomod Ulamed Lishmor V'Lasot.
There you go.
I'll
And that's
send it
what.
to you. If I ever find it, I'll send it to you.
Okay, that's
Lomod Ulamed, yeah.
okay, and that's really the fourfold metaphor here, right? It's got to, and what makes it admirable, it's chokhmatchem binachem l'nei. It's where you're. It's got to be that. It's got to be all those together. It's got the chidush, innovative. It's rooted the goal of teaching others and making the world a better place. And that's what Matovu Olecha Yaakov is in this metaphor as well. That's the metaphor.
Great. But you need to read the whole thing. It's not just the Ohalim. Right. Very nice.
Yeah.
A lot of literature, you know,
Yeah.
literary. Nice.
That's what I thought the
I mean, it's not enough just to say water, you know, flowing water or something, Mayim Chayim or something. You have to get into it. Water
right.
does changes and water, blah, blah, and yeah. Very nice.
River coming out of Eden, and
Oh,
the
yeah, Gan
fragrant
Eden. And what
flowers,
was
like
that one?
it's
Oh,
got to be
to go
rooted.
back
That
to
goes
our
back to,
roots,
goes back to the
back to,
original. It's got
right?
to be in part of the Sora as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna stop here.
Good. Very nice.
Okay, let's stop recording.